Hello and welcome to Isolation and Me. I'm Blanche Anderson, voiceover actor and filmmaker. This is a podcast which explores personal experiences during the COVID-19 outbreak. In this episode, I revisit some previous interviewees to see how they're getting on further into lockdown. So before I crack on, if you'd prefer to hear their original story, pause now and go back to episodes 1 to 7. For those of you ready for an update, here we go. Hello, Claudia.
Hi, Blanche.
Hello, hello, hello. So I think out of everyone that I have interviewed, we've had a lot of changes here, but I think, well, we kind of knew yours was going to be the most significant change of all. So since we last spoke, you've had a baby.
Indeed. I had a baby girl. Yes. I hope that's the biggest change. I hope I won this one.
Yeah, I was going to say it's quite tough competition if anyone has done more than that. I think pretty significant. So, I mean, obviously it's quite difficult to tell how life has changed because of the baby and how life has changed because of lockdown. But we'll try and unfold it a bit, I guess. But so if it's not too an obvious question, can you tell us a little bit about how life is now versus before?
Ooh, okay. Well, for start, I don't work an office job anymore. I work a mama job, which is very, very different. What else? Well, summer crackdown. So there's been a lot of outside activities with the babies, like walking in a park or even walking in the countryside now that we can. Then I sing a lot more songs than I used to.
I like that.
And I do a lot of funny faces. Yeah.
A lot of changing nappies as well.
A lot of, that's also new. That's not a new entry, a good new entry, but it's a good new entry.
It must be really difficult too, because, you know, most of the people I'm speaking to, I'm saying, so how is life now because of lockdown? But I mean, your life was going to change either way, I guess. So how are you finding new motherhood?
Well, I like it so far. It's only been 3 months, but it's a lot of fun. And I was thinking, like, now that you said about what's the difference, like what changed because of lockdown and what changed because of motherhood, it is hard to separate the two. But I think there is an intersection in the sense that because of lockdown, other people's lives are more similar to mine.
Mm, true.
So I think my life would have been the same with or without lockdown. But because, for example, friends cannot go out as much as before, at least they couldn't up until recently, or we have been encouraged for a long time to spend time outdoors rather than indoors. So, for example, I see more people than I thought I would by this point.
Yeah, because they're off in the daytimes as well if they're furloughed and stuff.
Exactly like that. And in the evening, not many people are, I mean, at least among my friends, are so keen to go out, like, clubbing and dancing and go for bars. So they may be, like, more up to for a quiet dinner at home, which is much more compatible with the baby.
Very true, very true. I'm missing the nights out, I can tell you right now. But no, that's so true. Maybe it's like we're all mothers. All early nights and things like that. But, yeah, you are right, actually. That's quite interesting. So I guess in that way, it's to your benefit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. I guess it's good to look at the bright side of things. That's definitely towards my benefit. I'm not sure it's going to be the same in winter, but so far, so good.
Well, let's see, shall we? And then the other benefit, I guess, is as well as your husband is working at home as well. I don't know if he usually would be, but because of lockdown, he is, right?
Exactly. No, he wouldn't. He definitely wouldn't. He would do longish hours, although he promised that after Lydia was born, he wouldn't. So let's see, maybe he wouldn't have done it. But yeah, definitely office life. And now he's at home all day. Like right now, for example, he's looking after the baby. So that's quite handy.
Yeah, and we're on a time limit to make sure Lydia doesn't cry in the background, but it's okay.
I think I can hear now. But it's not my problem.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well. Do you want to talk us through, you've got a little routine set up with you guys, don't you, that you think works wonders? Do you want to tell any other mums out there about it?
Yes. So we decided to sleep in separate beds and we are loving it. So, okay, we spend a bit less time together, but we take shifts. So I take the night shift, he takes the morning shift, and around 6 or 7, whenever she wakes up around that time, I bring her to his room, I wake him up, and I go to bed for a solid nap. And that actually works super well for us because Well, he has a couple of hours of quality time with the baby in the morning. Mm. And then if she lets him, he starts working with the baby, takes a couple of meetings with her. Mm. Which I find is really cute. I'm not sure his team thinks the same, but well, that's what happens. And then when she's hungry, basically, he wakes me up again.
Yeah.
And I take over again. But that means that between, let's say, 7 and 10, something like that, I can properly sleep. Like not just with one eye open to make sure that the baby's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that works, and we wouldn't be able to do it if he had to go in the office at 8 or 9.
Exactly. And also, I did just hear her in the background. It's the cutest little noises I could ever hear in my entire life. It's a lot more exciting than my noises in this area that I'm in today, because it's just non-stop sawing outside. I think the park next to me is having loads of trees sawed down, so that's annoying. So how do you think that lockdown has impacted Lydia's life so far? I mean, obviously she's not your second child, so you don't have anything to compare it to. But do you think lockdown has impacted her? And if so, do you think there'll be any long-term effects? Obviously, this is all hypothetical.
Well, I think there have been a couple of like practical hiccups. Like, for example, the register office of our council Tower Hamlets was closed for a long time. So, you know, usually you have 45 days to register the baby and no one does it. You usually do it a couple of days after they are born. But this time was impossible. So we only managed to register like maybe 3 weeks ago. Like she was over 2 months, basically, which in itself it was a big deal. But because, you know, I'm Italian, my husband is French, we would like to go abroad, but we can't because the baby doesn't have a passport yet because of these delays. So there have been some like practical issues like that, or like family didn't come to see us when she was first born, and they only came a couple of weeks ago. But they're all short term, really, and they are all practicalities. I think she seems like a fairly happy and sociable baby so far. Like,
good.
Like she gives big smiles to family and friends.
Good.
So I'm not too worried about the fact that she wasn't able to see anyone but us for the first couple of months. But I don't think it's going to impact her.
I hope not, because I'd imagine maybe, hopefully, she's at a good stage for it all to happen, because I know that it was either you and I think someone else told me this as well, is that they've seen in slightly older babies there have been like developmental stuff. So, for example, not quite being able to interact with other kids, or, you know, I think my friend said that one of like her friend who's had a baby, a nurse came round and was like, oh, and is she waving and smiling at everyone? And they're like, well, she doesn't see anyone, so no. You know, there's little things like that. So.
Yeah, I had the same, like, actually the baby of a couple of friends. I think she was about the age Lydia, my daughter, is now, when lockdown started, so like 2 months. And then we saw them after lockdown, and she was not happy to see other people. I can tell you, she was not at ease at all. So we cut it short. So yeah, I think, I don't know if those are going to be long-term consequences at all, but it surely is not pleasant for them.
Well, I wonder if there's going to be long-term effects for all of us, right? I mean, maybe we will just completely forget in a few years' time that this all happened, but I'd imagine that part of it's going to stay with us in some way. And then in terms of your family, I know that your French, well, as in your husband's side, have come over, but what about Italy? Do you know much about what's going on over there? And, you know, are you... Well, I guess you're waiting for the passport, but what else about, you know, travelling back to Italy and seeing your family there?
I think in Italy, so far, the situation is okay. I think there has been a small raise in cases, but it's still fine. They don't have restriction. Actually, in France, the family came just on time because now we have a quarantine again.
Of course.
Fine, but yeah, just about. I'm not sure about my family, actually. You know, they're not big travelers, so there are no plans for them to come before I go. But it's nothing to do with COVID, really. They're just lazy asses.
I love that, and I hope they don't listen to this. I was also going to say it's such a shame, because you're going to do, I can't remember if I said in the last episode, but you were going to do like a welcome to the world party in August in Tuscany that I was very excited about attending, where, you know, all your family and his family are going to be there too. So, you know, a selfish thing one day, I hope.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No. Yeah, maybe next year. Let's see.
Exactly. And then talking about you kind of predicting, so in April, when I spoke to you, you said that things won't be back to normal until the end of the year. So do you still think that's like realistic timeline, and or has your opinion changed on what you said?
I'm not sure what normal means anymore, to be honest. Like, for example, not that I care that much because I'm on maternity leave, but my employer say that no one is going to go back to the office until January 2021. Mm-hmm. And so, but let's see. So at least then, maybe even longer. So I may have been optimistic back then in April. It may be longer than the end of the year to go back to how we were before. But that said, if we could go back to, like, you know, work in the office and have, like, all businesses open and borders open, even if there are some restrictions like wearing a mask or things like that, I think would be good enough. I would call it back to normal.
Yeah, I was just thinking that I think the day that it's going to be normal is maybe when the nightclubs open again. I think that, for me, will be back to normal. And I don't see that happening for quite a while.
You know, I didn't even know they were closed. That's how my life changed.
I think the last time, I was going to say the last time you were in a nightclub would have been with me, but I don't know if that's true or not. I've just decided
it was. It is.
Quite a while ago. In terms of rating lockdown, and again, this must be hard to differentiate between, you know, having a baby and lockdown. But maybe you can give me two scores, I don't know. But can you rate lockdown out of 10 so far?
Ooh. Okay, I think I would give it a 7. And I can explain. I actually feel bad to give positive, like, I associate lockdown as a mostly positive experience. And I feel almost guilty because, you know, I mean, there have been horrible consequences for a lot of people, but not for me.
Yeah.
And I think we discussed it last time. There have been some moments where it wasn't easy, and there was a bit of anxiety, and et cetera. But overall, it helped me a lot with the baby, in the sense that, as I told you, like, our social life is much easier than I thought it would be. And I don't know, breastfeeding went really smoothly. For example, I was a bit worried that it would have been hard, but because it was just the three of us and there was not much to do really other than spending time with the baby, everything went well. And as we said, my husband is at home and has been amazing, and he spent a lot more time with the baby than he would have otherwise. Yeah. And he can help out, especially at the beginning when I was always sleep deprived and tired, like on top of our morning shifting, he would just take over in the afternoon if I was too tired and I needed a nap. And, you know, all these things wouldn't have happened. So overall, it was positive for me. It doesn't get a full 10 because of the anxiety at the beginning.
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, I'm sure the anxiety at the beginning again was probably, you know, because you're about to become a new mum and stuff as well. So I guess it is just all interlinked. And you could, I mean, well, like I said, you could hardly give it a really low number. And then poor Lydia, you know, the love of your life comes along and you've given it a really low number. And she'll listen back to this and go, that is outrageous, Mum.
That's true.
Do you want to give a very candid number on motherhood? I don't know if that's putting you on the... You know how everyone always goes, oh, motherhood's the best glorious thing. Do you want to give a number on that?
Oh, it's good that you ask now. Yeah. That I sleep much more and everything is easier. That's also hard because it's great, to be honest, although it's not always great. I would give it an 8.
It's pretty high.
So Lydia can listen to this in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, you've still got all the rubbish to do and you get lack of sleep and stuff, so it could never be quite a 10, could it?
No, exactly. But it's still amazing, to be honest. And you catch me on a good day as well. So,
yesterday you sounded a lot more tired.
I was super tired. She woke up so much during the night. But a few days ago, she slept 8 hours straight.
What? That's almost unheard of.
Yes, it didn't last. But still, it was a glorious day.
You win some, lose some. So how has lockdown, you know, if anything, has it changed your perception or your attitude towards anything?
I'm not sure, again, because I merged lockdown with maternity, but like with maternity leave. But I'm taking things a bit slower. And again, I think it's more to do with the baby, with the lockdown, to be honest. But because it's basically impossible to plan any activity. I tried, I was frustrated, I gave up.
What sort of activity are you talking about?
You know, I wanted to do a course, for example. And, you know, we are house hunting. But I actually managed to do that. But I just gave up of having fixed time to do things. So it would be more like, you know, today at some point I want to do that, for example, calling an agent, and that's it. Before the end of the day I want to do it. That's the maximum I want to plan. And and so giving up a bit on like the controlling side of my personality, it's relaxing, and it brought a few things with it. Like, for example, I started joining classes of the London Buddhist Center. Like, I do a bit of meditation, a bit of yoga. And so it forces me a little to be in the present moment, I think. And I don't want to give lockdown too much of a credit for this. I think it's mostly Lydia's tyranny.
You can give them both credit.
That's the main change in my attitude towards.
And it makes sense. And I think a lot of people have said, because a lot of people have had their timetable completely ripped up and, you know, weddings have been cancelled and holidays have been cancelled and things like that. They're kind of like, well, it is worth living in the moment because you can't really plan too far ahead because there might be another wave or, you know, obviously that's a bit pessimistic. But yeah, it's quite good. And then also your life does get smaller. You start seeing friends in your area more, or, you know, seeing maybe less, more focused friends, you know, that you really want to see and make the effort for. So it's quite nice in that way, for sure. More local and things. Oh, there was a question I was going to ask you and I've completely forgotten it. It's very annoying. Oh, dear. I've obviously got a tired brain myself and I actually had a lovely sleep last night. Oh, I don't know. It has. It is gone. I'm sure it was the biggest gem that there ever has been.
Oh.
Would you, on a bit of a negative one, different question, what do you think the likelihood is that there'll be some more waves, or do you think that's it?
I'm almost certain, to be honest, not that I have any, you know, authority on the matter, but it seems very unlikely that suddenly everything is over. So I'm almost certain there's going to be some during the winter. Hopefully now we're going to be more prepared to face it, like, you know, like in terms of like hospital being ready and the NHS or the organizational side of things. So I'm not sure there's going to be any more lockdowns. Hopefully no, but pretty sure there's going to be more waves. So I'm not planning too much.
Although it's weird how accustomed to things you get. Like, even on the news reports, they're not really mentioning the numbers anymore. At one point, it was all about the figures and, you know, figures of infection, figures of death. Whereas now people are like more interested in other things.
Yeah, I've noticed it. And I've also noticed how people relax so much. Like, I spent the weekend in Sussex, and there people were really strict. Everyone was wearing a mask and everyone was actually socially distancing. And I realized how much people are not socially distancing in London compared to that. And only a month ago, maybe a couple of months ago, everyone was really, really careful. So yes, we do get used to things in the, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing, but we'll see. I guess if a second wave comes, everyone is going to be more careful again.
Yeah, when it's at the forefront of our mind. But I went to Sussex too, and it was exactly the same. People were really, really strict. That was maybe 3 weeks ago or something. But really strict about it. It was a strong reminder. And when I went to Scotland as well, everyone was really strict. So I wonder if it's just us London casuals.
Yeah, I guess there are so many people in London that we gave up to social distancing, which is a bit silly.
Yeah, well, we shall see. But if it does continue, I'll be calling on your services again to have another chat. Anyway, I will let you go because I heard poor Lydia not that long ago giving a wee cry for her mum. So I will let you go and thank you very much for chatting to me again.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye, Blanche.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Isolation and Me with Blanche Anderson. Hello, Maria.
Hi.
Hello. We had some technical difficulties to start off with there, but I'm glad I can hear you loud and clear now. So that's good.
Yes, all ready to go.
Yeah. And I've just been complaining to you about how hot it is in London today. I am dying. What's it like in America well, on your side, I guess.
Yeah, well, it has been really hot, but actually the past couple of weeks has gotten a little cooler. We had a lot of rain. You saw maybe in the news the tropical storm came up, and then we had some cooler weather.
Okay, I didn't see that because I've been avoiding the news like the plague, basically. there's basic things that I just don't even know are happening, so I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, very much living a very small life, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, it's been a few months now since we last spoke. I think we spoke in April and it's now August. So, I mean, because I have been avoiding the news, I don't know anything about the COVID situation in the US. So do you want to kind of fill us in on what stage things are at over there? I know there is a whole thing about masks and not wearing masks, but that's about all I know.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I don't even know where to start on that, really. So we've been through a lot. And New York, it's interesting because we had in the beginning, probably around the time I was talking to you last, New York was one of the epicenters of COVID. And we were just like really locking down. And you know, Trump was talking about not letting people from New York go to other places in the country and stuff like that, which never happened. But we really, in terms of the kind of local government and stuff, the governor and the mayor and all of that really like was quite proactive about trying to create some rules and, you know, make people all work from home and shut businesses down. And we still now have a lot of businesses shut down, although we're, I think, in stage four now, which means there's a lot of businesses that are slowly opening up. We don't have restaurants indoor seating yet still, and we don't have gyms, and we don't have some other things like that. But
So we're slightly ahead of you then, because our pubs and restaurants are open and the gyms as well. But I don't know if it's such a good thing. We've also got this like government scheme, which is help out to buyout, which means any Monday to Wednesday throughout August, I think it's 50% up off food up to £10. The government like pay the other 50%. So they're actively encouraging people to go Monday to Wednesday to the restaurants, which I'm not sure is a great idea in terms of like forcing people to sit closely together, but
yeah, well, it's the thing is here, it's very different from place to place. Like there's not been any real strong leadership in terms of like what the national policy is going to be, which in some ways is, you know, it is a very different situation from place to place. But right now we've had huge spikes in other places. So now New York is one of the safest places to be, although we still have a lot of restriction. But places like Florida, Texas, Arizona, California are seeing like a second wave spike that's pretty intense. Yeah. And now a lot of them are opening schools up. So who knows what's going to happen now?
I know that, I mean, I don't know very much about America, never been, but I know that like, say, Florida is quite an old community, isn't it? So that would make sense, or at least that's what I know from watching films.
from the Golden Girls, right?
Exactly. There's Blanche in the Golden Girls.
Exactly.
That's me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I guess it's kind of the same with London, which is we had a big spike at the beginning and then it kind of flattens out a wee bit. But how are you and your friends? I mean, if the restrictions are still ongoing, that's been quite a few months. How are you and your like pals coping with that?
Well, I've had an adventure. We haven't caught up at all, but like I just got back to New York. I was here until the very beginning of July. And then I wanted to go home and see my family. And Missouri was New York had already started to calm down, but Missouri, where I'm from, was having a lot less restrictions, but also like, you know, it's less densely populated. And anyway, I decided that I was going to go home for a visit, even though my mom actually is so concerned about COVID that she like when I visited her, like I didn't go in the house. Like we like hung out in the yard. I stayed at like my uncle's house in the farm. And
nice.
Yeah, it was really good. But then while I was visiting, my dad's girlfriend got COVID.
Oh my goodness.
I know. And which was scary in its own way. And I know my dad was really worried about it, but that meant that we had to quarantine in Missouri for 2 weeks. So I was back home like by myself in this creepy old farmhouse, like kind of, I like created a little yoga retreat for myself because I didn't know what else to do. Yeah, but it was, I was home for almost a month. And
Oh my goodness.
Which is the longest I've been home since I was like in high school.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I guess it was very surreal.
It was super surreal. Yeah. I was getting up to all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, it was nice in a lot of ways. I was on this farm and picking tomatoes but I was by myself and I was quarantining, so no one could come around. And it was very surreal. It felt like a film.
Yeah. And how was it not being able, because I'm presuming usually you go home and stay with the family, well, your mum. So how was it? Did it feel, I mean, was it tinged with sadness a wee bit, or was it actually just, you know, better to see her at all? You know, that you couldn't stay in the house.
Yeah, I mean, both. It was a little bit sad or bittersweet or whatever you want to say. But also I just felt like, you know, in some ways we have to kind of like make the best of what we have. Because I know for her, you know, she's a little bit older and she has some health problems. And so she doesn't want to risk it. And honestly, I think we all have to make those decisions for ourselves. And it's funny how, you know, some people – you know, you see that with the people in the United States. There's like some people that seem so completely unconcerned with it and are like more concerned about like their right to not wear a mask. Other people are very scared about it. And I think, you know, it's important that we prioritize making sure that we try to keep other people safe as well. That's why the mask thing is there. But you can't tell someone how to feel about this. You know, we're all kind of figuring that out. Yeah, it was a little bit sad, but my mom, I know, is not going to feel comfortable like being around people in a normal way until there's a vaccine. And I'm not going to not see her until there's a vaccine, because who knows when that's going to happen. So I figured I better just
bite the bullet.
Yeah. So it was good to see them.
Yeah, I think, well, I was the exact same. I just came back from Scotland myself this weekend, seeing my parents, and it was the exact same thing of not going in the house and, you know, staying with my brother and sitting outside. Luckily, no one in the family got COVID, though, so I didn't have to quarantine there. But I was a bit worried about a local lockdown, because they're doing that here. I guess they're doing that where you are as well.
What do you mean when you say a local lockdown? Like, people are encouraged not to leave, or is that enforced?
So it's kind of like, I mean, it'll probably, like you said, in America, it's more state to state. There's state law, I guess, or regions. But here it's, so for example, the whole of the North, well, not all of it, but most of the Northwest has been, you know, given tighter restrictions than the rest of the UK. And same with Aberdeen, there was a few cases there. So basically the city got like locked down to more, you know, taken back a few stages and stuff like that. So not the whole of the UK is on the same rule book, basically.
Right. Interesting. So did that mean that you could have gotten trapped there? Like, do they not want people to leave once they're there? Or?
If, because things happen like really quickly overnight and stuff. So if there had been a local lockdown in Scotland, say, or in London, you're not allowed to travel to and through. But luckily, I was A-okay.
Yay.
So there you go.
Good.
So when we last spoke in April, you said that you were in a really good place in terms of self-care, and you'd hope that you carried on loads of positive changes that you were already making. Like you said, that you were not using your phone as an alarm in the morning, and you were doing breath work, meditation and stuff. Have you still been doing that the whole of lockdown? Have you kind of kept and carried that on?
Yeah, I have quite a bit. I mean, there's been some definite down points during this whole thing too. Like, I can't say that it's all been like roses. The past few, like while I was home, it was hard. And I was like focusing more on that stuff still, but I also was like coming like – the government in March came out with a bill that was supporting people who had lost their jobs due to COVID, but that additional unemployment assistance expired in September, and now Congress is talking about, are they going to renew it? At what rate are they going to renew it? Like, is, you know, what's going to happen? And so this whole time in the past month or so has been really like just very uncertain for me financially, like what choices I should be making. And I have been taking care of myself, but there's been some definite like realizations that I might need to go into. Well, I'm I'm making some big changes and I'm going to go stay with my brother in California for a while to save some money. And
Yeah.
So there's,
it's exciting as well.
It is. It is. It's funny because I have wanted to go to California for a while for sort of career reasons and to check out some stuff to do more like film work. And also just, I would love to be around my brother a bit more, but I always kind of thought I'm going to wait until I get some sort of invitation, you know, like and I think in my head that meant, you know, like a job or some sort of career prospect that was a bit more tangible than what's going on right now. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what, like all of this stuff that's beyond my control has changed, and I have this support system in California where I can go like live with my brother on the beach, you know, save some money, and continue to focus on those things that I want to focus on, my self-care, and not fight so hard to try to stay here in a place where it's going to be very hard for me to make a living right now, because there's still, you know, there's no theater. Who knows when there's going to be theater? There is bartending a bit, but it's like, do I want to be bartending here, like wearing a mask with like all of the, it's just, I don't really want to do that anyway. So I think it's sometimes, well, this is the invitation, I think, you know, this is the invitation. And I'm just trying to say yes to it.
Go with it. Exactly. And I think the last episode you said one of your goals for this year was to stop bartending, and it happened. So all these things are in, kind of in your sights anyway, so you just gotta like roll with them. So I guess that's the positive. Obviously financial worry is never pleasant, and at the moment it is also uncertain, but you know, it sounds like maybe there's nice things that come out of it.
But yeah, you're right, there are. And it's like that's the funny thing. It's like you put out these intentions and you ask for things, and I think we get very attached to the manner in which we're gonna have our prayers answered, so to speak, you know, like the quit bartending thing, for instance. It's like, oh, you wanted to quit bartending, huh? Well, here you go. And now there's like no bartending. So
yeah, be careful what you wish for. That's the lesson here. But it sounds like my question was going to say, what have you been up to the last few months? So obviously you had a month back home. You were doing your yoga teacher training. I think you'd finished that. Have you been managing to do like Zoom classes and stuff? And, you know, what else have you been doing?
Yeah, a little bit. I've been taking a lot of Ashtanga yoga as well, which has been really nice because in the past, I had my yoga studio that I went to and I had my routine, and now it's, you know, as much as it's not the same doing all of this stuff on Zoom, it's really opened up this potential for me to like try all sorts of new things that I haven't tried before. So while I was home, I did this like really intense, kind of cool yoga intensive where I was like waking up at 5 a.m. and meditating and then doing yoga and then doing another session of it in the afternoon. And I've been doing quite a bit of writing, and I've been reaching out to casting directors and making, like spending a lot of time on those kinds of building those relationships for when I move to LA, which is exciting.
You must have like abs of steel doing so much yoga. You must be in the peak condition.
I don't know, but I definitely, the stir craziness has made me like, I've been exercising quite a bit. I don't know if it makes up for the lack of walking, you know, because my life used to be like, you know, New York, it's like London, you know, but I just walked a lot, and now I feel like I never leave the house. I do.
I'm just constantly eating loads of rubbish, and I am going walks and stuff, but I am eating a lot to balance out, and drinking a lot as well. So, oops.
Well, we have to be gentle with ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Although if this does last for a few years, I can't use that as an excuse forever.
A few years. Good Lord, Blanche. Scaring the dickens out of me.
I'm sorry. Right, I'm going on the like negative side of things, I guess, which brings me to my next question, which is, do you think this like overall has been a positive or negative experience for you?
I mean, I can only speak for myself personally, and I think I touched on this the last time we spoke, but I'm reluctant to draw any big conclusions about whether it's positive or negative for everyone, because I know there's so many people who have been suffering because of this, and it's been so frustrating to see how many people have been suffering for no reason because of the mismanagement of this whole thing here. But for me personally, I think the way that this has made me take stock and really think about what I want and make some changes that I wanted to make, but that I, you know, was in a routine, and it's hard to get out of a routine unless you have to, right? So I think all of that for me personally has been really good. And in terms of whether or not for everyone it'll be good, I do have a lot of hope that there will be positive changes that come out of this, despite the suffering. You know, a lot of that remains to be seen, but I think, you know, I think that there's a real, the way that we've all had to like spend more time with ourselves and spend time thinking about whether or not the way the world was going before was how we wanted it to go, you know? You know, there's like, they're saying that like the emissions for this year are going to be down like 17 to 18%.
My goodness.
Which is the first time that we've had a CO2 emission decrease in like, you know, 40, 50 years. So, which really goes to show that like if we wanted to consume less and travel less, and even if we all just did like, didn't go out to eat once less a week, or like, you know, if we were more mindful in the way that we lived our lives, it would make a huge difference. So I hope that some of that is going to carry over.
Yeah, you're such a selfless soul, aren't you?
No.
I was just thinking that that's a nice thing. I'm like, well, it's been positive because I've had time to eat more biscuits. that's my point of view. But no, yeah, I think you are right. And I think it is funny to think that although this all seems out of our control at the moment, there are certain things, and it does make you reassess. And also, I was thinking, yeah, with you maybe moving to with your family, like it has definitely reminded me anyway that family is most important. I know that sounds a bit cringe, but
me too. It's like I feel like this has really shifted a lot of my priorities in a positive way. Cringe all you like, world.
Exactly. Take that. And then just the final question. I mean, this is, again, a phrase that's thrown around a lot, but how are you feeling about going back to the new normal?
First of all, I hate the, I know that we put perhaps sneaking the word new in there, like as an attempt to like for us all to like make that better, but I hate the idea of going back to normal because of the things that we were just talking about. I think like, what is normal? How, like all that we know that's constant in the universe and in our world is that change is constant, you know? So the idea of trying to cling on to something the way that something was before, I think is sort of the opposite of what we should be doing here. But instead, we should be asking ourselves, what do we want to change? What do we want to take away from this? What do we want to move towards? So yeah, I don't like the idea of going back to any kind of normal, because I think that in so many ways, like what was happening before wasn't working, you know?
Yeah.
So I would like to think that there's a chance for like doing something really new and letting go of some things that are outdated and outmoded, and really think outside of the box and challenge the assumptions that we have about how things have to work.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot, Maria. I like that. I'll use that last line and I'll pin it on post-its on my wall, mate.
Pin it up.
Listen, thank you very much for your time. And, you know, I hope to still keep in touch with you as this goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Who knows? Maybe we'll keep doing installments of this every 6 months for the next 10 years.
Okay, now who's being pessimistic, okay? But anyway, thank you so much, Maria. And goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Blanche. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Isolation and Me. Don't forget to subscribe and share, but also please, please give us a rating or review, as it helps other people to find the podcast. Thanks again, and stay safe.